NPR.
Hey everyone, Stacey and Cardiff here. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. Today's Friday.
Yes.
And that is awesome, self-evidently. Friday's always awesome.
Always awesome.
But it also means
it's time for Indicators of the Week.
That's right.
Where you and I pick indicators from somewhere in the news or in the world that have, like, particularly struck us this week. And then we try to, like, have a little fun on Fridays. As much fun as you can have on The Indicator, which is, like, which is a lot of fun. What's more fun than economic statistics?
And with that as a teaser, we'll be back with Indicators.
Who's going to duck out during the ad break with economic statistics on the other side? No one.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use portfolio analysts to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com.
Okay, we're back after the break. It's just the two of us now. Our listeners left.
Well, you know, we may have one or two that are like in, like they can't get their hands to their phones right away. So let's try to keep them.
Okay, Stacey, you want to go rock, paper, scissors for who goes first with this week's indicators of the week? All right, here we go. One, two, three.
Scissors beats
scissors
paper,
beats paper.
Cardiff.
You win again.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank
well
you,
done.
Scissors. Thank you, scissors.
You get to go first, Stacey. Hit me with your indicator.
My indicator of the week is $60.6 billion.
Okay. Sounds like a high number.
Yes. It is a very high number. And in fact, it's not a great number. It is the hit that car makers around the world are expecting to experience because of this chip shortage. You may have heard about this.
Yeah.
There's a big chip shortage happening, or semiconductor shortage. And chips are like all over the place in cars, right? Power steering and the brakes, also in like the computers, the little infotainment systems that a lot of cars have. And what happened is early in the pandemic, a lot of the auto plants closed down because of social distancing, a lot of workplaces closed, including auto plants. And so workers went home. And then, of course, the chip makers who were making chips for the cars had all these chips on their hands. And no one to buy them because the cars weren't being made. And so they started looking around for other buyers. And they found other buyers, like, right away in the consumer electronics industry. Because everyone, even in the early days of the pandemic, was just buying up game consoles and laptops and phones. And, you know, like, the production of consumer electronics went crazy at that moment. And there were the chip makers with all these extra chips. And our demand for consumer electronics has not waned, right? It's just kept going up and up and up. So all these chip makers are now supplying consumer electronics. Well, then as the pandemic went on for longer, a lot of people decided, well, it's time to buy a car. But now the cars are trying to get the chips to make their cars, and the chip makers are supplying consumer electronics. And so there's not enough chips to go around now.
So in other words, the car makers are way in the back of the line because they failed to anticipate just how much people actually would want to buy their cars. And so therefore, they need all of these semiconductors.
And now, like, there are Ford plants and GM plants that are closing temporarily just because, like, they are waiting for the chip supply to go back up before they can make cars again. So they're, like, temporarily closing plants and, like, halting production just until the shortage can be dealt with.
That has to be so frustrating because the car makers have these cars they want to sell. They've got customers that want to buy the cars, but they can't actually get these chips because there's been some kind of a breakdown in the supply chain that gets those chips to those car makers, right?
Well, it is a problem with the supply chain. Chip makers need like many months, like 6 months to really ramp up production. And so the car makers are kind of waiting. The supply chain like diverted to another industry. And so the car makers got a little bit cut out. And now they have to wait until the supply of chips can like feed both monsters.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the car makers are losing tens of billions of dollars in potential sales because they literally can't sell the thing that they make. They don't have the parts for it.
Yes, absolutely. And we can probably expect shortages or like at least long waits for a lot of the new electronics and everything like that. If you're wanting to order something cutting edge, Cardiff, you may have to wait for a while.
Excellent indicator.
Thank
ready
you.
For mine?
I am ready for your indicator. Give it to me, paper. What's going on?
My indicator is 300,000. That is how many fewer babies will be born in the U.S. this year than would have been born if the pandemic had never happened. That comes from scholars at the Brookings Institution, a think tank.
Wait, no. I thought everybody was having babies.
No.
Everybody's been having babies during the pandemic.
The exact opposite. There's a big baby bust that's happening in the pandemic.
Is it just baby everybody I know?
Possibly. Overall, though, it's the exact opposite. And it's a big deal because if you assume that there would have been roughly the same number of babies born this year as in 2019, the year before the pandemic started, when there were 3.75 million babies born in the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, a shortfall of 300,000 is about an 8% drop. That's a huge figure. And it's not meant to be a precise, you know, number. It's just a forecast. But no matter what, it's going to be a big number. And there's a couple of reasons this is happening. One is that it's just sort of what usually happens when the economy is in such bad shape, right?
Oh, people decide not to have children or put off having children for financial reasons.
Yeah, like they're losing jobs, they're losing income. It seems like a bad time for it. They might be scarred psychologically, so they just choose to put it off. But also the specific nature of the pandemic economy is one that's almost uniquely targeted at reducing the willingness of parents to have kids because the schools have been closed, right? Childcare facilities have been closed. A lot of parents who might have thought about having an additional kid are going through the very real stress of having to like do their jobs while also simultaneously teaching their kids, not having a place to take their kids to daycare. And so it's this kind of confluence of factors that's leading to what is expected to be a fairly big decline in the number of babies born this year. And it comes in the midst of a long-term trend of declining birth rates and declining fertility in the United States. And so this is probably going to exacerbate that trend.
What is that? Like, what are the implications for that on the economy?
There's a couple. One is that fewer babies means a smaller population over time than you otherwise would have had. And that just means a smaller economy, a smaller tax base, fewer tax revenues.
Fewer little taxpayers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so that means less money that the government can use to invest in the economy and, for example, to fund the pensions of older folks, right? People past retirement age, Social Security. It's just a smaller tax base. And the second part of this is something that economists are increasingly studying now, which is that a smaller population than you would have had is also bad for the efficiency and the innovation of the economy. Or in econo-speak, it's bad for productivity growth. And productivity growth is what drives things like wages. It's what drives things like living standards. It's really bad for the economy to have sluggish productivity growth, which it has had for decades. And so if you want faster productivity growth, economists are increasingly studying the possibility that it would help to ramp up the fertility rate, ramp up the birth rate of the economy, and that might help.
So I guess it is an Indicators of the Week shortages edition.
That is kind of a
shortage
edition.
Shortage of babies and cars and computers.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. And if you, our listeners, also have ideas for Indicators of the Week that Stacey and I can just pilfer right from our inbox.
We have shows every day that we have to do. So
that's right.
You know.
Send them to indicator@npr.org. We'd love to hear from you. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin and fact-checked by Sam Tsai. It was edited by Jolie Myers, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.